Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face.
Dan.
Sean.
Ready to go. Sorry about the break from last week. We didn't plan the 4th of July weekend I did not plan. Yeah, let me take the full blame for this. I did not plan the 4th of July weekend out. And so it came and we were like, oh, what are we doing for the podcast? And I was like, oh, wait, I'm out of town. And I have all the recording equipment.
Yeah, whoops. Good job.
Yeah.
I'm about to do this on my phone by myself. So.
Yeah. And I definitely want to look into being able to do the show remotely if I go back home. But to make up for that, and also it's like a weird consequence because of so much news from the past like 2 weeks that I still haven't covered, we found out when we were making the rundown that a lot of news had to do with Jay-Z in particular and the release of his album. And there's a lot to unpack there. And so this episode is going to be devoted entirely to just Jay-Z stuff. It's weird to devote an entire episode to an artist, but I think as you'll tell with the episode, there's a lot that the album release of Jay-Z's 444 has to do with different aspects of the music industry, different things that are going on, like different social things, all about like the culture of music. Like there's so much to unpack just from that. So yeah. The other episode, episode 7, is going to be dropping at the exact same time as this one. So you'll have double the Audio Face to listen to.
Woo!
That'll have other music news. We've got talking a little bit about the dumbass shit that happened with the Jenners. reviews of Tori Amos's new album, and the LCD Sound System lineup is a little different now, but we've got
that's one way to put it.
That's called the tease.
Yeah, right.
Definitely listen to that episode, or if you've already listened to that episode, listen to that episode first, or listen to this one first. It's a free country.
Do what you want. Do what you want.
All right. No, but this episode is going
to
be about...
It's brought to you by... Squarespace.
This episode is brought to you by Sprint.
And your shitty service and title and whatever the Jigga Man wants you to have.
No. Actually, the greatest thing is that, like, because Sprint probably got so much attention and, like, free airtime because of this album release, and they have the Verizon guy now, all they need to do is just, like, have Jay-Z and the old, like, Verizon Can You Hear Me Now guy going, can you hear me now, bitch?
Right, or them... Or have him sample Can You Hear Me Now on a Jay-Z song. I'm surprised I didn't hear that, right?
You know, at this point, Sprint, like, they're the corporate horse, you know? Anyways, Jay-Z, obviously, if you didn't know, released an album called 444 on June 30th. This is an album exclusive to Tidal, which is, like, a service that Jay-Z's probably been, like, the biggest spearhead for. there's also a special deal where you could only... If you were on Sprint, you could get 444 for free.
Yep.
And it was supposed to be exclusive, except that 444 is now available on Apple Music as of yesterday. So that
really, what?
Yeah.
Oh my god. So I hate this human so
much. You know, there's a lot to talk about with exclusivity and all those things. But first off, before we get into a full album review, I just want to say that in the last episode of Audio Face, episode 6, I believe, I was talking about this happening really quickly,
oh,
and I made a diss
right.
to No ID. Someone who I literally did not know of before. And that's just because I'm a dumbass. Because No ID has apparently produced for G-Unit, Bow Wow. He produced Heartless for Kanye West.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? I really got a taste of my own, like, medicine. Or, like, I really got to, like, eat
you
my
pulled,
words.
You pulled a Caesar on the We Made It podcast and taking back something you said the week before.
Yes.
Sorry about that. But
No, thanks for the plug. Yeah. No, also, check out the We Made It podcast, where
yes,
you can also meet people on the Syndicate 23 network who regret their words. But, no, my favorite, one of my favorite Jay-Z songs, Death of Autotune, was produced by No ID.
Okay.
And I applauded that song for its, like, instrumental usage. I applaud it for its, like, tight production. I applaud it for how fresh it sounded, even though it wasn't overly electronic. And a lot of that production quality went into 444. So... No ID, I apologize.
Interesting.
I denounce and reject myself. My bad. He also worked for Common in his early years, so I fucked
Interesting.
Up. I'm sorry. All right, now that's out of the way. Full review of the album, and wow, it's a doozy. You almost want to go song by song,
right?
Because there's just so many interesting things here. First off, I miss old hip-hop.
Right?
Because the first track on the album is a diss track, a little bit to Kanye.
It is.
Yeah. It's kind of just like I think Jay-Z described it as like the death of the ego.
That's kind of funny.
While also simultaneously talking about Kanye West. And while we're talking about Jay-Z and Kanye, who honestly, I loved it when they worked together. It seems like they've kind of gotten into a bit of a fuss lately over many things, but especially relating to Tidal. let's see. What was it? Right now we're having a situation where Kanye and Jay-Z might sue each other. At least this is being reported by TMZ. Wes says that Tidal owes him money, and Tidal says
who doesn't owe you money? Does the state of Wyoming owe you money for being out and fucking wearing tinfoil hat, probably going on InfoWars or some shit now? I don't know. The hell are you doing, Kanye?
Coming in hot. Let's just see where this goes. Wow, my computer's doing a strange thing.
Just flat over the place. It's not ready for my hot takes right now.
Yeah,
I'm going off.
That take was a little too hot. Okay, yeah, I'm going off.
Let's do this thing.
No.
What the fuck? Owe him money for what?
So apparently, what happened was that The Life of Pablo, when it was released exclusively on Tidal for at least a little while, he was supposed to get a bonus for how many new subscribers it brought into Tidal. But apparently, Tidal didn't give him that money. On 444 in the
is that getting that paper?
Yeah, in the album, I mean, in the song "Kill Jay-Z," Jay-Z refers to West by saying like, "You lost your principles," kind of referring to like the ego criticism that's like kind of lobbed at Kanye West all the time.
Well, I mean, he's a giant egocentric bastard, so that kind of helps. But they all kind of are. So,
and then Kanye West was talking in a separate interview where he said that. Quote, because of some Tidal Apple bullshit. So that just means, like, this also shows that there's some tension between Kanye and Jay-Z, not only in, like, personal things, but about how they're running their business of music.
And it's just, it goes to the whole, like, exclusive rights bullshit thing that we've been talking about the past couple of weeks, where, you know, it's just, it's getting up, you know, too much, you know, it's been too exclusive now, so it's like, what's the fucking point of it, really?
Yeah, like, there's always...
So stupid.
There's always going to be this, like, attempt to stop or, like, to curb out and make sure that you don't have piracy, right?
Right.
But when you make music unnecessarily scarce, you end up having piracy. At the same, like, I'm sorry, but, like, that's just a fact. There are going to be a lot of people who are trying to illegally...
It's the same fucking thing.
Exactly. So, like, my thing is that you should make it available on as many paid streaming services as possible and make those paid streaming services as palatable to the user as possible and then find some way to, like, pay the artist fairly. That's like a magic ball situation, but like that's obviously the goal you want to like strive towards.
And have, you know, a streaming service like Spotify or something actually pay the artists what they deserve and everything.
Yeah, which right now they don't.
No, God, no, they don't. That's why so many people are pissed off at them. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah. But you just see like all of these different things that are kind of bubbling up. But while we kind of make the argument that almost seems to be on Kanye's side, that streaming services, we're kind of making an argument on Kanye's side that streaming services are just like hurt everyone in the business. Jay-Z's kind of entire album kind of turns into an argument for why he did what he did, or at least an explanation. And there's that's the theme of what I would call this album, with a lot of repentance. I think he ties up a lot of loose ends. If you don't agree with me, we're going to go through this album.
We are going to go through this album.
In fact, I want to skip around because just to lighten up the conversation a little bit, or like change it around.
And yes, by the way, we both did this into the album.
Yeah,
we found a way.
We have Tidal. We got a Tidal trial, and we were able to listen to the album.
Trial.
Actually, what we did.
Why the hell does that rhyme?
You want to know how dedicated? You want to know how dedicated Sean and I are to this podcast? We went down to Sprint, got an iPhone, downloaded the album on Sprint, and 2.5 weeks later, we were finally able to listen to it. That's why the podcast is.
My whole house is
brought to you
yellow
by Sprint
now.
LTE.
It'll get to you in 4 days.
I've gotten FedEx packages faster than I've gotten things to download on Sprint.
I've gotten a DHL package from freaking München Gladbach, Germany, faster than I've gotten a text message on Sprint.
Okay. So guess who's not sponsoring us ever?
God, no. I don't want them to. Don't sponsor us, Sprint.
T-Mobile,
go away.
Sponsor us.
Yeah, I kind of fucked with them, so don't you tell
them. Take us to Germany, please.
Right.
No, but on... Let's go to the song Smile, which features Gloria Carter, in which...
That's an interesting human being.
That's Jay-Z's mom.
That's the Jigga Man's mom.
In the song, like, there's part of it where Jay-Z's mom is talking, like, kind of near the end as an interlude. But in the beginning, he raps about his mom having to kind of live in the shadows as a lesbian.
Yeah.
And, that's the first time that's ever kind of being announced. And, you know, I think it's... this album teeter-totters back and forth from being aware of hashtag it's 2017.
And yeah, and like being a bit
being
too much.
Being kind of politically correct, and then the direct other side, but...
we'll get
again,
to that in a second.
We will get to that later. This is a very, like, there's a lot to unpack from this. So, yeah, that was... I think it was a really cool thing, because I guess Americans are kind of aware, because this marriage equality fight is still going on, but once the Supreme Court kind of, like, said it was legal, that was a huge victory.
Yes.
But it's not too long ago where, and, like, it still happens today, where there's very large LGBTQ, like, bigotry and, like, just, like, bad things happening to members of that community.
Political.
It's even worse in the black community, because there's... I mean, I would argue it's even worse just because there's a lot more...
It's a big stigma with it, you know?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Stigma. There's a lot more stigma to, like, any of those things in the black community. It's like, you almost get called white for being gay or something
right?
like that.
It's kind of odd.
Yeah, and so I think it's a powerful message that is being sent, but, like, that's, you know... It's 2017. I wish these kind of things didn't have to be such a big deal. I wish we lived in a world where... these simple things don't have to be such a big deal, but at least there's visibility, and I have nothing against someone else, like, telling their truth for the first time. So, yeah, that was great. Can we go back to the fun one?
All right, we're going
to song one, and we did song three. Song two is called The Story of OJ.
Juice!
And Orenthal James is the least interesting part of the song.
Orenthal James Simpson has nothing to do with the goddamn song. Just
He's referenced in, like, one line.
Right.
And I have a comment about that kind of flow of the album, too. Again, so much to talk about. But no, that song got received interestingly.
For a few reasons.
Yeah, there were... I'm going to pull up Genius right now, just so I can get the lyrics for this, because I really don't want to mess it up. Oh, top songs. Number two, The Story of OJ right now. So, it's a very political song, but probably the most controversial lyric is in the interlude when he goes, quote, "You ever wonder why Jewish people own all the property in America? This is how they did it." Referring to, like, credit. It's a very, especially kind of in the times we're living now, where, like, anti-Semitism is starting to get, like, more and more out there again. Like, again, it was always bubbling up on the surface, but
so
now we're
many...
really, really seeing it, just because of political things I won't get into on this.
There's a lot of Jewish groups and stuff that are outraged over the lyric, and...
Yeah, because...
There's a lot of stupid shit going on about it.
Here's how I will interpret it. Not necessarily saying I agree, but here's how I will interpret it. Is that... Jay-Z made a lyric that, on its literal sense, sounds very anti-Semitic. Like, why Jews own all the property in America? That's obviously not true, but that's, like, something... That's a conspiracy theory that tends to be peddled a lot on, you know, different anti-Semitic sort of conspiracy theories and people who are just generally anti-Semitic as a total. But you look at the context of the song, and you look at the context of the album, especially because... The Jigga Man is not someone who's, like, frequently anti-Semitic. I mean, there's the Jigga Man, then there's Mel Gibson. If Mel Gibson came out with, "You wonder why the Jewish people own all the property?" That's like, okay.
I was like, all right, Mel, okay.
But...
Put that coat hanger and get him out of there.
if I don't... Not to jump too much over what the whole album is about, but a lot about the album is kind of about how he's living his legacy. How he's, like, found a way to build wealth so he can pass it down through generations. And in that sense, I think he's using, like, the way Jewish people were able to build wealth and pass it down through generations, even through times of hardship. I think he was trying to use that as an example. But it's rap, so it's not the most... It's not going to be presented the most eloquent way.
I see. Okay, I see what you're talking about, you know?
Because the rest of the context is... Like, the lyric before that was, "You want to know what's more important than throwing away money at a strip club? Credit." But
it's just so halfway through the song, I'm like,
and the next verse, what? He's like, "Financial freedom's my only hope. Fuck living rich and dying broke. I bought some artwork for $1 million. 2 years later, that shit worth $2 million. Few years later, that shit worth $8 million. I can't wait to give this shit to my children."
Why the fuck are we reading Jay-Z lyrics right now?
Because
I hate our lives.
Because here's the thing: I don't think Jay-Z is anti-Semitic. I don't think he intended to be anti-Semitic. He's talking about generational wealth. And that's it's a common topic right now in the black community. And the reason why I'm giving Jay-Z a pass is because he doesn't have a pass of anti-Semitism. I have no reason to believe he's an anti-Semite, at least from my personal knowledge of Jay-Z, which is admittedly sort of limited, but I haven't heard any examples like, oh, here he goes again rambling on about Jewish people.
Right.
This isn't...
Okay.
What do you think? Because you seem like you sort of agree, but sort of don't.
I don't know. It's just like such an odd way to give a compliment, if it is a compliment. I don't know. It just seems like really strange to me. When I was listening to Sonic, I go, whoa, 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 what the hell?
Yeah,
first off, you're like, strip club credit. What? And then out of nowhere, then you bring the Jews into this. So I'm like, what do the Jews have to do with any of this? Dude, Jigga Man, stop! You're going too crazy. You're like, it's some Trump style neoliberalism or something. This goes over the head of people. Like, what is going on?
I
could see it the way what you mean, but it's just such an odd way to put it down. If that makes any sense, I don't know.
I think it's, because I think in the black community, especially now, like, black artists and musicians and other, like, wealthy black people are kind of talking about using the Jewish model of, like, building wealth through generations. The reason why that's important is because, like, Jews like blacks. I'm not trying to compare, like, oh, which was worse, the Holocaust or slavery? I'm not getting into that conversation.
That's a terrible conversation.
That is a horrible conversation to have.
And, like, never have it.
One that's not relevant to the point. But I'm saying is, if you look at different groups of people who have gone through some of the most horrendous, like, times in human history inflicted onto them by other human beings. And how do you come out of that as, like, not a decimated people, not, like, a completely destroyed people? Like...
Okay.
Like, that's where I think it's trying to come from. And I understand that coming from the context of the bank black movement, where people are saying, like, invest your money in black banks.
Right,
so those, like, give back to communities of color. Like, talking about buying property in black areas so you can, like, save it from gentrification, or, like, populate that yourself and make it a, like, wealthy neighborhood. Like, giving money back to the community, which is something that Jewish people did when they were building up wealth. And so I see that parallel. I also give it a pass because nothing super eloquent is going to be stated by literally reading rap lyrics.
No, never.
That's just not the style.
Never.
And to kind of go off of this song in particular, more just about this album, we have rappers like Kendrick now. We have rappers like Vince Staples now. There are, honestly, there are better rappers than Jay-Z. There are people who are way more lyrically talented than Jay-Z. What Jay-Z's really good at is, like, slam poetry to very good instrumentals.
And he's also good at kind of stirring up the pot.
Yeah.
Like, so him and Kanye are kind of really good at doing that.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's just really, like, the idea of rap as storytelling, Jay-Z has really nailed. And I think this album kind of has that sentiment to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to drop a line. The next Bill Gates is coming from Section 8 or whatever that line is.
But he did drop a line on an interlude in one song that was like, he said the word midget and he was like, never mind, that's not politically correct. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, so, like, I give him that.
This is a self-aware Jigga. This is a self-aware Jigga.
Self-aware Jigga. Okay.
Did we just find the name of the episode?
Right. Self-aware Jigga.
Self-aware Jigga. What? The Jigga is becoming self-aware. You must construct additional Jiggas.
Whoa.
Anyways, let's talk about some other, like, other juicy, interesting things. I didn't mean that when I said juicy, Jew, and juicy. Anyway, so...
Goosey?
On to other things. So, there's a lot of drama going on with Jay-Z and the Knowles family. There were allegations that are kind of implied to on the song Lemonade from Beyoncé's last LP about Jay-Z cheating on her. Mm-hmm. There's some speculation. There was an elevator fight with Solange that thankfully didn't go in the Ray Rice situation.
Dude, that could have gone wild. I mean, that could have gone nose broken, you know.
Honestly, every time I hear, like, fight in elevator, I always go to that. I'm like, oh, that's the worst it can get.
Are you going to go Ray Rice on it, or are you going to go...
Because, like, that's a, like, you don't want to do UFC in an elevator. It's just not enough, space.
Whatever you do, don't go Conor McGregor on it, man. Don't just pull out a fucking whiskey shot, slam down. You need to go and with the artist accent and just...
I'm gonna need
face.
To delete every part of this episode.
This is the worst episode we've ever made. That's gone off, but fuck
this is
it.
Horrible. I denounce and reject pretty much all of that.
It's wild today, Dan. I don't know how I drank.
But...
So let's
wrap up the salon stuff. So,
please.
In Kill Jay-Z, in addition to, like, spend some verses on Kanye, he also talks about himself saying, "You egged Solange on, knowing all along all you had to do was say you was wrong." And so I guess he's, again, back to where I said that Jay-Z's, this album is a lot about repentance and tying loose ends. I think there's an example of that. On 444, Jay-Z talks about his, like, one of his lyrics is, "Look, I apologize, often womanized, took for my child to be born, see through a woman's eyes, took for these natural twins to believe in miracles." So there's, like, a lot of interesting things. Becky with the bad hair, or Becky with the good hair, whatever, was referenced in the Beyonce song. And Jay-Z makes a reference to, like, that, saying, "Yeah, I'll fuck up a good thing if you let me, let me alone Becky."
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thing. It seems like, again, like, Jay-Z is tying his loose ends. Or at least in public, because Jay-Z and Beyonce have been a thing since, like, 2000s, very early 2000s. They were just very, very private and very, very secret about it, except in their music.
Which is kind of ironic.
But at least an article that I read on Vox today, I forget who wrote it, but that's where I got it from. They were making the argument that that's how, like, Beyonce and Jay-Z, unlike a lot of other celebrities, have been able to control the narrative around them. Because you think about it, with the Kardashians or whatever... Oh god, two episodes in a row where I have to mention that fucking family. But, like...
Kill me now.
And with them, so many things can be said about them, and you never know who's saying what because there's so much back and forth. Beyonce and Jay-Z, they don't really talk about their relationship. All they do is let it express out in its music and let the music speak for itself. And by letting the music being the only conduit for talking about their relationship...
Yeah, I guess you can control it.
They stop
that way.
A lot of the celebrity drama, and I think that's pretty good.
They kind of control, like, their own...
Narrative.
Their own narrative, with, I guess. I mean, I could see that happening. But again, I mean, it's the whole celebrity artist thing. It's starting to kind of blur into one.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good lyric. All blurring into one. where it seems like you can't escape it anymore, you know? With big-name artists are almost always now becoming celebrities, and you're so into their lives. It's just... I don't know. It's becoming a bit too much, if that makes any sense, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like this is, like, the tipping point, I think. Or anything, it's just like, okay, what the hell's going on? Why is it becoming so damn personal or whatnot? But it, I don't know if it should be. It's kind of hard. And it's just like, it all seems very strange to me, really. It's hard to explain through it.
I think it's...
If you see the point I'm trying to make.
No, I totally see the point you're trying to make. I think it's just something that's hard to avoid when you have superstars. Like, people worship Beyonce. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, people do. Holy, like, hell.
I mean, really give Jay-Z mad respect. I think both of them, human being deserves worship.
And it's the Beatles phenomenon. You know, it's just like people kind of gravitate to one thing if they really like it. And music is such a big platform and everything, but I just want it to not become a celebrity fest instead of, you know, an actual music fest.
And when we're talking about, this is like the music power couple. So it's...
Yeah, that's very true.
And we're talking about Kanye West, and for some reason OJ's been mentioned more times than he deserves to be. Like,
whoa. What?
Google Trends for OJ spiked up, and he's like, oh shit, they make another movie about me?
Oh god. He's in jail right now in Florida, wherever the hell he is.
Fuck, they make another miniseries? Thought we was over this shit. Alright, let's see. What else is there major to talk about? I'm looking at the track list really quickly. Caught Their Eyes by Frank Ocean. Just getting back to the nitty gritty. Talking about the presentation, the production again, it's spot on. I love what we're going to talk about, or spoiler alert, we're recording this episode first before the other episode, even though this is the episode after the other episode that we haven't recorded yet.
Because we're fucking weird.
Fake news. So, in the other episode, we're going to be talking about how a lot of the music we talk about is not very electronic. At least last week, or with last episode. And same here. This album sounds fresh, it sounds clean,
it sounds unique, actually does sound fresh. I liked it, surprisingly.
It doesn't have that over electronic thing.
It doesn't have that stupid snare. As a couple of it on the songs, the stupid trap snare drum thing, but it's
but like,
not.
But Trap didn't invent the snare drum.
No. I'm saying, but it's like where it's the most popular now, where you hear it all the time. That's not throughout the album. That's just on like I think one or two songs, maybe if I recall.
It's very, very conservative.
And even then, it's only in like certain parts. It's not, you know, loop like it's banned. So it's kind of. A fresh take on it. Maybe
it,
a f- it, old
just
fresh take.
It just sounds so fucking different. It's wonderful.
Yeah, because I listen to it, I go, whoa, I'm not supposed to like it, but I kind of do. It's good.
It's old school, but it's still new. It still sounds nice. I'm so glad. Like, right. This is exactly what I needed, because now I can listen to electronic music again.
Well, it's starting. Remember, I think we said this. I might have said
couple
this.
Episodes back.
A couple episodes back. I was saying, I think the industry's starting to change, you know, where. Remember how, you know, you have a sound of the 80s, sound of the 90s, sound of the early 2000s. Now you have the sound of the 2010s, or whatever you want to call it. I think now it's starting to change because I think people are starting to realize, and we always say this, I hate saying it again, where it's getting super samey. It's good because now, you know, Vince Staples' album came out, I fucks with him heavy, by the way, now since you dropped the name.
Oh, by the way, guess what? This is totally relevant for everyone not listening to this podcast, but Vince Staples is opening up for Gorillaz.
Yeah, you texted me that. We're gonna see Mr. North North.
We're gonna see Danny Brown, Vince Staples, and Gorillaz. Good that's Lord, that's I love us. Okay, but continue.
Fuck.
Enough about our lives.
And so with the album, it's like, oh wow, it's starting. Everything's now starting to change. And we'll get to that in the next episode too, because another artist does it.
Yeah, we talk about Calvin Harris a little bit, and we talk about how like. When he collaborated with Deadmau5, you see a lot of what EDM has kind of become, even in that one collaboration. It was almost amazing.
We'll really dive in depth in the episode, but this is
and
this
you probably
album
already listened to that episode if you listened to it in fucking order.
Right. And then the Jay-Z's album is great.
It's just amazing that I don't know if I want to.
The music industry is listening to Audioface, you know?
Clearly,
and
yes.
Like, clearly saying, oh, that Sean and Dan guy are pretty smart, you know? They may stumble on the words and have birds in the background and shit, but they know what they're talking about.
The music industry loves Audioface and Syndicate 23, and we made it.
And we
in
made
fact,
it.
In fact, they're probably going
to. You know what? Fucking Barcelona is going to be taking We Made It advice, and they're going to ship off Messi to Tax Evasion Island. Whoa!
here they're going to replace Sepp Blatter. And put Bam in.
No, they're gonna fire the PSG coach. It'll put Bam in, and Bam's just gonna make a 4-4-2 with.
No.
And they're just gonna put Cavani's name on every single fucking. Guy.
Sorry, I take that back. Bam's gonna bring Sepp Blatter back.
Well, Bam kind of. I don't remember.
Bam and Sepp.
Bam and Sepp. Oh,
make
God.
FIFA great again. Drain the swamp.
World Cup would go something wild.
Alpha
know?
Brain.
Like, World Cup would go, I don't even know where Bam would want the World Cup to go. Solomon Islands or some random shit like that. Marshall Islands, I don't know.
World Cup North Korea.
I fuss heavy with that.
Okay.
Like, anyways.
That is more soccer talk than I can actually capable of. But the instrumentation of this song, I mean, of this album, I don't want to go as far as saying that this is going to be the sound of the 20s. Oh my God. The 20s are coming. The roaring 20s. We're back. No, but we don't want
to. And the music video for OJ. The story of OJ.
Oh,
look
yeah.
Look at that. It's
I forgot
old cartoony.
To mention about that. It's a menstrual show cartoon. It's like styled in like 40s, 50s menstrual show ideas. And like, that's a political statement on its own.
Yeah.
A lot of this album is very political. And I just want to make my point before I continue on to that. But I don't know if this Jay-Z album kind of sounds like other Jay-Z albums, in the sense that there's a lot of rock production in the background, there's jazz influences, there's funk influences, with like this poetic sort of Jay-Z flow rap that not many other rappers have. I think Snoop Dogg has a flow where he's like,
I mean, there's a few that have a flow, but Jay-Z's is like, you know, like
Jay-Z's is poetry. It's talking to you. Like, it's a little bit of rhyming, it's a little bit of spit in there, but it's like, it's kind of thoughtful.
It flows, it goes so well together. It's weird.
Yeah. And, like, that talent gets lost when you have this, like, amazing new younger talent, like Kendrick, for example. But, and I've mentioned that already, but going on.
Kendrick should still stop playing golf. Just playing out there.
Okay, last.
Get some coaching, bud.
He's just mad because of the left stroke just went viral part in.
Right.
You're just bitter about that. Relax.
Bitter man.
But one I think the most powerful songs is Legacy, which is the song at the end asterisk of the album. The album's actually coming out in physical form with 3 bonus tracks. And we'll talk a little bit about that later, but it's all about how it continues the thing I was talking about with the story of OJ, where he's talking about the idea of building wealth and spreading that out to other people.
So what you're telling me is he's a giant socialist.
No, but it's more like community building. And yeah, I guess in that sense, you got your socialism dig in for the episode twice in a day. But like, I guess in that sense, it is socialism, but it's more about giving back to your community and watching grow.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I was having a laugh.
He's speaking to his kids too, and his like family and everything. And you could almost probably listen to this as he dies, and this is his actual will. And
that would kind of be weird.
There's one part that I'm a little worried about because he says, "My stake in Roc Nation should go to you. Leave a piece for your siblings to give their children to. Tidal, the champagne, Dissy, I'd like to see." First off, I don't think Tidal's going to exist.
Yeah, right? And Tidal's going to exist.
I think Jay-Z is
going to
outlive Tidal, or at least I hope, because Tidal's not going to be around for very long. I might eat my words again, but you know.
I don't see it being around for that much longer, honestly. Unless they do something drastic like Amazon and buy Whole Foods or some shit, but I don't see it doing that, you know?
Yeah, but I think this album, all in all, like, lyrically, it's very political. It's all about, like, I guess what Jay-Z's learned in his life, like, building his wealth. Forbes says that he is, like, around $800 million in net worth. That's kind of amazing. And, yeah, how did he get that money? Through doing all these record deals. And the story of OJ, there's one lyric that I want to try to pull up really fast. There you go. He's saying, "I turned my life into a nice first week release date. Y'all out here still taking advances, huh?" He's directly attacking the way the music industry works, the record labels. But his response is Tidal, which...
it's the same fucking thing.
I mean, it's better for artists, but way worse as a downside for consumers.
Yeah.
And I think this is like the Team Fortress 2 of music. Like, whatever class you pick, it's going to have an upside, it's going to have a downside. Heavy, takes bullets, slow as shit. That's a way throwback, because now people are playing Overwatch. Team Fortress 2 is like a...
it's like 2008.
What's coming first, Team Fortress 2 or Half-Life 3? Or Team Fortress 3 or Half-Life 3?
Team Fortress 3 by far. Half-Life 3 is never going to exist. Fucking Alex Jones has become president. I'm going to kill myself. Before Half-Life
no politics.
3 confirms. Right.
No politics.
Fucking Azerbaijan's going to win the World Cup before Half-Life 3 comes out, okay?
We're going to turn into Idiocracy where President Alex Jones starts watering the grass with Alpha Brain.
He's going to be like in... Doctor Strangelove, where he drinks alkaline water because normal water is a communist conspiracy.
It's got supplements!
this podcast is wild as shit.
This is strange. Okay. No, but it's a very political album. It's all about, like, the idea of wealth building in the black community. One thing I kind of wanted to throw a shout out to is, or, like, what this reminded me of, is how Killer Mike is opening his, like,
oh, that's right, his thing.
He's continuing his, like, barbershop chain
mm-hmm.
that is also black-owned. Killer Mike's also been a big advocate of, like banking black and all these different initiatives. And so this is a trend that kind of keeps happening. And maybe I'm biased because I'm black, but I would like to see where this goes. And not just creating community, like, not just creating wealth exclusively for black people, but creating wealth for these communities that will ultimately... make America wealthier overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I like that. I fucks with it.
Yeah, no. I just think it's a cool thing. And there's 3 more things I want to talk about. But first, DJ Khaled put his 2-year-old or 1-year-old kid on his album.
Yeah, I know. I fucking hate that band, but...
Jay-Z's youngest, Blue Ivy, I want to say, yeah, is also on this album a little bit. How do you feel about these artists' kids... getting on their parents' albums? Is it, like, is it an entitled spoiled thing? Is it a, well, it's my career, I can do whatever the hell I want with it? Like...
I mean, it's 2 things. It's both of those, because, you know, do whatever the fuck you want. I mean, Nirvana put a random-ass baby with a tiny little penis on there,
but, like, when it's your own, about, like, your
saying,
kids.
But when it's your own, it could be too, it can make your kid egotistical as fuck, but they could become egotistical as fuck anyways, and they could just be, I mean, you know, very, very kids. Proud. What?
The Will Smith's kids.
Yeah, well, case in point. I mean, you could just look like Jalen and just be like, whoa.
But did Jalen, like, but did, like Will Smith, I should have done better research, but did Will Smith include, like, Jalen in any, like, no, because Will Smith's rap career, remember, Will Smith had a rap
Jesus
career.
Christ.
Summertime. Summertime.
Kill me now.
No, but that was way before, that's like, the kids were around.
I believe so, right?
Yeah, because. That
was when Pharrell was rapping, yo. Don't sleep.
I totally forgot about
Don't
that.
Don't fucking sleep.
Oh my god,
bro. Should be a gangster rapper. It's probably
Nerd.
Fake blood. That dude keep creeps me out, though, because he doesn't age.
Pharrell.
Pharrell's a fucking robot. Pharrell's a member of Daft Punk now.
Speaking of children, did Pharrell kill his firstborn so he just didn't age?
Oh, fuck.
You're first with no, allegedly.
Allegedly, so we don't get in trouble.
Allegedly. The second thing is another take that I wonder you have. How do you feel about the fact that Sprint technically made Jay-Z's album go platinum nearly instantly? Because Sprint paid for all the free downloads they ultimately gave.
So it's kind of like U2 with Songs of Innocence in 2014 when Apple did that.
Is that when Apple decided that everyone's Apple device needed more U2?
Yeah, that was kind of the beginning of this, but...
Because to me,
I kind of hate that because that's a cheap way. Well, it's not cheap, but it's a shit way of getting your album platinum in a way.
Here's the thing. On the one hand, I think it's a fair way because...
Really?
No, I don't think it's a fair way, but I understand why. Because Sprint paid for those downloads. People are definitely going to listen to it. But at the same time, that... It's definitely going to happen with someone like Jay-Z, who's a super celebrity.
It's kind of going to, get platinum out of that.
This is very similar to what happens in, like, the book industry, because oftentimes publisher will just buy warehouses of books to get on the New York Times bestseller list.
Books that don't even
sell that well, like, will still get that New York Times bestselling author thing,
yeah.
Which helps the author make more money, helps the book sell more money. You can make that thing in, like... You can sell it again in paperback. You can do all these different things. It's easier to write other books. It's the whole kind of racket that happens, right? So that's a common thing. But now that's moving over to music, I don't like it because I still... Maybe it's just me being a little proletariat consumer, but I...
Proletarian consumer.
I think that consumers should speak for what is popular and not corporations who make the deals. I don't think that... out of the gates, you should be given such a lead in how your album does. No, I think your album should go based on downloads. That's difficult because buys.
It's so hard to do that now because of fucking streaming. Like, how many albums have you bought this year?
One.
Physical. Yeah, probably you bought Gorillaz, right?
Yeah, I bought the Gorillaz. And all that is that's a vinyl because I wanted the book that came with it, and I hang vinyl on my wall.
Yeah, it's the same thing I do. So with that, how the fuck is the industry supposed to go and say, hey, you're going platinum, you're going double platinum. How the hell is this supposed to happen now because of all this streaming service shit and whatnot? Like, it's such a gray area now. And now Sprint doing shit with Tidal for Jay-Z's album, I don't know, it's like even a deeper gray area, if that makes any sense. And I don't know how I feel about it yet.
The only reason I'm slightly in the middle on this situation alone is because... It's possible Jay-Z would have eventually gotten for platinum with this album.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
certainly
almost
within the realm of possibility. Right? But it's still, I don't like this sort of like unfair thing. Also, I wonder how long it took for Sprint to get that bank transaction to go through.
Right.
It's like, okay, we're going to purchase the album in March, and then hopefully by June, the album will be purchased and y'all can go platinum. Or they probably started the money transfer when the album came out. And then a couple days when it finally went platinum, it's like, okay, download complete. God, I hate sending anything more than 1,000 kilobytes over Sprint.
Again, take you 4 days.
Okay. Last thing about Jay-Z. Is he going to retire now?
Fucking retire, kill yourself, bye.
hot takes. Fire takes. No.
Just any. Okay, another take. If any of y'all keep fucking going on Twitter and posting the goddamn lyrics for Jay-Z's fucking album because you don't have title, kill yourself, please. If I see one more fucking trending on Twitter, some fucking lyric from his goddamn album because people don't want to do title, fucking kill yourself. Just do it. Hot takes. I'm out.
I must again denounce and reject those things, develop it while editing a video about mental health. I denounce and reject the idea of killing yourself.
Yeah, it's a joke, guys. Don't actually kill yourself.
Nevertheless, Sean Suarez is entitled to his takes.
Yes. It's a hot take day today, guys.
All of your anger should go to @SWSuarez on Twitter and Instagram.
And don't you dare fucking tweet me Jay-Z lyrics on my Twitter. I'm going to kill
it.
You.
I'd probably do it for you. No,
right?
I mean, like, I could have said this about Magna Carta Holy Grail. I could have said this about whatever the fuck came out before that. I could have said this before, like, after Hold the Throne, or Watch the Throne,
Watch
right?
the Throne.
Like, Jay-Z, you can retire now. What are you going to do? Like, make an...
Make a label.
I think he's trying... Well, he did make a label.
Yeah, but use the label. Don't use title. Fuck you.
Yeah, like...
Shut down title. Do it.
Is that a good idea for him? Should he just, like, cut out... Should he, I mean, like, because title's going to fail. Should he just, like, be a godfather again? Like Deadmau5 is, like Daft Punk supposedly is, and just like, hey, I'm gonna overwatch these I'm gonna lift up these artists. I'm gonna do, even Kendrick's doing it now with Top Dog. Like, maybe this is the way he should go.
Okay, I mean, I wouldn't mind it.
I really don't know the answer. All I know is Jay-Z, you ended your album with a song called Legacy, in which you're basically reading out your will to your like fortune.
And leave, let that be. Don't do anything else.
End it's it. Fine. You're good. The end. We don't need, like, the Blueprint 15.
Right. We don't need, in Indonesia now, okay?
For your sake, I'm gonna edit that one.
Just put, we don't need cut episodes. That's it. It's, Indonesia. I don't know what's on today. I'm just coming in. I'm fucking coming in hot.
We have another episode to record.
I'm going
will
far.
Will enough. My career survive the next episode? I don't know, but that's pretty much all we've got on the HOV lane. And
what are we on the 605 South coming home from the San Gabriel Mountains?
If there's one thing you know about Syndicate 23 is that it rolls Long Beach hard. On the last episode of We Made It, Caesar was throwing out Longshoreman references. I thought it was...
Right. Saying Lacazette's his long-lost cousin.
What's that place across from Wendy's? The, like, sandwich place?
Oh, like Major League Burger or whatever it is or something like that. Throwing that out.
He's just random, like, Bixby Knowles.
What are we...
whatever, but anyways.
What are we, North North now?
If you want to hear... Just have Vince Staples join Syndicate 23.
I'm so fucked.
Just
down.
Like any Long Beach based creator. No, anyways. Thank you for listening to We Made It. Thank you for making it this
thank
far.
Thank you.
If you are interested in this shit, or if you're not interested in this shit, you should check out the We Made It podcast on Syndicate 23 about
Do
soccer
it. And about the footballs.
They go way harder and have way less chill than we do, so...
Yeah, Dan holds me back. You know, I'd be like Bam on that podcast of saying random shit, but...
Ah, there's a song called Bam on this album.
That's hilarious, and okay.
Goes hard. Not as hard as Bam, though. So yeah, check that out. They're killing it over there, and we'll be back next week. Or, if you listen to this episode first... Well, you made it to the end. Go ahead and check out episode 7.
Please do.
Do
it.
All right. Do it. I Peace. Bet it's going to be great. I mean, I know it's going to be great because I can tell the future.
Yes, we are fortune tellers. Cheers.
That's all.
Cheers, guys.